Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Now, trees have such an immense value for our landscapes, our climate, our wildlife and indeed our well-being. And you only need to visit Hartwood to see how many of us here in St Albans love our woodlands. A couple of weeks ago on Environment Matters, Marcus Cousins from Aylett's Nurseries appealed to us not to bring plants back from our foreign holidays because of the diseases that could accompany them. But thousands of trees are imported every year to meet demand for tree planting, perhaps in new woodlands. And unfortunately, these imported trees have been to blame for bringing in diseases, perhaps like ash dieback. Now, later in the show, we'll hear how scientists at Rothamsted Research in Harpenden have been working on a novel solution to the problem. But first, I spoke to Holly Anderson of the Woodland Trust to find out how they are addressing the problem. Holly, thank you for joining me. Now, the Woodland Trust, you look after a lot of important areas of woodland, some like Hartwood, close to here in St Albans, right throughout the UK. Can you just tell us what effects imported tree diseases are already having on these woodlands?
Well, I think with us owning so many sites across the UK, we own over 1,200. I think one of the major concerns with us is that every single woodland is going to be different and impacted in a different way depending on the amount of trees and what species of trees are there. So for us, it's a case of increased management costs. It's really hard to keep on top of something once it's entered the UK, and actually very hard to stop it from spreading as well. So I think for us, some woods thankfully have been untouched by most tree pests and diseases, but if you have woodlands that are heavy in ash or elm, the impact that tree diseases have had over the years is really quite marked, and especially younger woodlands as well are more at risk because younger trees are less resilient, I guess. They're more susceptible to those tree pests and diseases. Okay. So for a woodland like Hartwood, it can be quite worrying.
Right, okay, so really quite vulnerable then. So the message you really is coming from people like you is that there's more diseases out there. You know, actually, the worst is still to come. Can you just tell us about a couple of diseases which we don't currently find in UK woodlands, but which are sort of poised to make their way to our shores?
I'm not sure. It's hard, actually, because sometimes we're not aware of them because they're not our issue yet. And I think we need to work a little bit harder to better understand what is kind of poised across the channel to make it across. However, I think two really good examples of what we knew or had heard of vaguely in mainland Europe were the oak processionary moth and also the zigzag elm sawfly. Both of those tree pests have now entered the UK and are in the southeast, where you would expect imports to first land from overseas with all of the major ports and air passages as well. So for us, they're two very prominent examples that have happened in the last couple of years that have entered the UK because imports aren't being checked and aren't being policed as well as they should be.
Right, okay. So they're diseases which a lot of us haven't, or a lot of woodlands hasn't been impacted by, but we're probably going to be hearing a lot more about.
Absolutely.
Right, now, as the Woodland Trust, you do plant plenty of trees. Obviously, Hartwood is a good example. Where do you get your trees from?
Well, what we've been doing, for probably 10 years or more now, is we've said that any tree that we put in the ground, the seed and the tree itself, must have UK provenance. And what we mean by that is it is sourced and grown here on home soil rather than importing it from anywhere else, because that means that we are not playing a role in that imported tree pest and disease system. And we have a list of nurseries that we trust and rely on, and we have a seed provider that we really heavily rely on as well, but who we know can all tell us exactly where those trees and seeds have come from.
See, that's
right,
the,
down to the very beginning.
So that's the difficulty, isn't it? Is being able to trust that what you're buying, it's not just sitting in a UK nursery at the moment, but actually its entire life has been in this country, as you say, including the seed collection as well. So presumably this is why you created the accreditation scheme back in 2015. How successful has that been?
Well, at the moment we have 21, 22 nurseries actually signed up to the scheme, which is really great because it's something that they're doing above and beyond what is expected of them. There isn't any legislation or any higher controls or power that means that nurseries have to do this. And also there's a really big thing that the industry as a whole isn't quite geared up towards thinking like this just yet. and also neither are consumers. So people out there at supermarkets and in garden centres aren't asking where plants come from at the moment, and we need that to change. So considering we've got that group of nurseries, some of which are quite large nurseries, signed up to the scheme and saying, this group of trees here have come from the UK.
Right.
It's really fantastic, but we need to see wider change. We need to tighten up borders in the first place, because otherwise we're just going to be playing catch-up when things enter the country. But also, people who are buying trees and plants in general need to start asking where they've come from.
Right, OK. So who is it who you want to be asking these questions? Is it us, members of the public?
I think definitely members of the public. I mean, if it's starting at that consumer level with Joe Public actually asking, that means that there is a market and there's a demand. And unfortunately, tree nurseries obviously have to make a living. So if they know that people want that and it's a product that is desirable and that people have that awareness, they will actually start to feed into that and they'll start hopefully signing up to our scheme. But also it will mean that maybe more people will buy from the nurseries that do already do it as well, which would be fantastic.
Right.
But likewise, the more that we say it, the more other people will listen. So anyone who does own a nursery can sign up or ask to be audited. They can speak to us about how they actually help prevent some of those tree pest and diseases coming in. But also we want to start talking higher up to the people who make laws and who control biosecurity for the country and say we need to start checking these imports more, and actually we need to start putting bans on them sooner rather than later.
Okay, so it sounds like you're taking action at a higher level. It sounds like you'd like the industry to take more action, even though, as you say, the beginnings are there, and you're asking us as members of the public to start asking questions about where the trees that we're buying come from.
Absolutely. The whole chain has a role to play, and it's a case of chicken or egg. I think the more that all of us do together, the sooner we'll see change.
That's an excellent message. Holly, thank you very much for talking to me today about that.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Holly Anderson of the Woodland Trust. Now, whilst being easily able to identify British-grown trees will definitely help, there are other reasons too why we don't buy British trees. For instance, supply and cost. And it's in these areas that scientists at Rothamsted Research are trying to help. I spoke to Vashti Alonso Chavez to find out more about what they're doing. Vashti, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So how big a risk does importing trees pose?
It is a big risk because it's the main pathway that diseases from other places come into the UK. And in general, moving trees from place to place is the main pathway for new or exotic diseases that can be established in a place happen.
Right. And obviously, presumably when the diseases arrive, it was like when we took measles or whatever over to South America, there's no resistance in
exactly,
the population.
Exactly. That is, like, if you think, for example, in terms of an analogy, like nowadays the globalization is huge, so diseases move from place to place, and if the population has not developed resistance to that disease, they will be very susceptible to the disease. The same is with trees and with plants.
Of course, yes, indeed. So where do we import trees from?
Well, all over the place. There's trees that come from the US, from China, from Russia, from the EU. And they will depend, these imports will depend on the specific business or the specific target that they will reach.
Okay. I mean, I knew that there was tree nurseries in places like Holland or even in Italy. But this is a global trade, isn't it?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, why do we import so many trees? Because we do grow some trees in this country, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do grow trees, mainly native trees and hardwood trees. But depending on the industry and depending on the purpose of the tree, you will have the trees here or not, and you will need to import or not. For example, if you have a landscape industry, you might just like a specific tree from a certain place, and then you will try to get that specific tree. Then we have the part that we are researching are related to production trees, which are more native trees like oak or conifers.
Right, okay. So there's a difference between the trees that we import for our gardens, and we might get those from, I don't know, China or something, because they're pretty trees that we don't get here. But really what you're concerned about is the woodland trees, is the plantation trees that we're going to be using for timber or something like that. and these ones do tend to be more the kind of things that we can produce in this country.
Yeah, that's right. The problem is that sometimes the growers do not really know how to predict how many trees they would need in the long and medium term.
Right, and growing a tree, it's not like growing a food crop. It takes more than a year, doesn't it? It might take, I don't know, how long does it take?
Yeah, it takes at least... So for seedlings that you want to take out to the market, it can take up to 3 years. And if you need specific seed provenance and you need seed collection, it can take even more.
Okay. So you've been trying to help growers predict demand, kind of see into the future, aren't they? How can you do that?
Well, more than trying to predict the demand, what we tried is to study and see how this demand variability, which I haven't really explained what it is.
Right.
So demand variability, what I mean by that is that if in 1 year I need, let's say, 500,000 trees.
Yes.
And then the next year I have 7,000 trees.
Yes.
Then there's going to be a variation from year to year.
Yes.
So we want to see how this variation in the demand from year to year affects this probability of introducing a disease.
Right. Okay. As you say, demand goes up. So have you tried to look at how you can forecast demand? Is that part of what you've been doing?
Yeah. So we developed a model that links the production of trees, and then we link that to the economics of a nursery.
Yep.
So, and then using this economics of the nursery, we can find out how a nursery can maximize the profit. And what we find is that if production costs are much lower than import costs,
yes,
then they will be likely to produce most of the trees in-house. Whereas if the production costs compared to the import costs are more or less similar,
yes,
then for their profit, it's better to just produce part of the trees and import the rest of the trees when the demand variability is large.
Right. Okay. I see.
I hope that's more or less clear.
Right. So you're generally trying to reduce the need for importing. Is that right?
Yeah. That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. So have you had the chance to use your modelling yet? Have any growers been using what you've produced?
Well, actually, the model was motivated by talking with the growers. So first, all these projects started with Ash dieback and trying to understand how trade affects the introduction of diseases. So we had to talk with different growers.
Yeah.
And one of their main concerns was that they did not know how to predict how many trees they would need from one year to the next, or from longer or medium term.
Right. So they've actually been asking for this help, and which you've been able to provide them with.
I think they're interested in the model. I think they like the model, and that's something they have been trying to pursue for quite a while, trying to show that this variability and this unpredictability on the demand really affects their business, and also really affects the potential importation or introduction of diseases.
So hopefully what you've done will be a very useful tool in trying to reduce the risk from abroad. Now, you're calling for some other measures as well. What other kind of things do you think might help?
I think, for example, if there is a way to reduce their production costs through, for example, subsidies, or even including new taxes for imports, that might encourage them to produce their trees.
Right. Yeah, that would definitely, as you say, just sort of alter the balance of whether it's more cost effective to produce the trees in this country. Perhaps some way that Brexit might prove to be a bit of a help in this situation.
Well, I think I didn't really study that part in the project. I think we're trying to understand what drives the introduction of diseases, but definitely imports is one of them.
Brilliant. Excellent. Well, Vasti, thank you very much indeed for coming and explaining that. And, we hope that it's just one thing that helps protect our lovely trees. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Vasti Alonso Chavez. And I do apologise for the noise of necessary repairs, which unfortunately defeated the studio soundproofing. And thank you for bearing with us there. Now, if you would like to do more to help local trees, then St Albans Tree Officers are running a training session at Verulamy Museum. That's the one right in the middle of town. And they're also going to go into Verulamy Park. Verulamy Museum is the one that's down the hill, isn't it, in the park. And that's on Thursday the 13th of September between 5 and 7 o'clock. And they're going to be looking at how to record significant trees using the TreeZilla website. Now, it's going to be a short walk around the park to record trees, followed by a short session at the museum on how to upload data onto the TreeZilla website. And it's hoped that TreeZilla, which is this online tool, will become a useful resource for students, ecologists, town planners and others seeking information about the area. And recording trees in St Albans District is vital to monitoring their health, recognising their ecological and cultural importance and understanding their ecosystems and landscape values. So that's the TreeZilla training. It's free to do. Thursday the 13th of September between 5 and 7, starting off from Verulamy Museum. Now, if you'd like to make the most of the earlier evenings, then you might be interested in the family-friendly back walk around Harpenden Common on Monday evening. That's with Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust between 7.15 and 8.45. And it's free to join as it's funded by Harpenden Town Council. Now, remember that you can listen to any additional Environment Matters by going to www.radioverulam.com/podcasts. And you can also subscribe to the weekly Environment Matters podcast through your favourite podcast provider. Now, do follow me on social media. We're on Twitter and the Facebook page, or drop me a line at amanda@radioverulam.com if you've got a comment about the show or ideas that you'd like us to cover. I'll be back at the same time next week when we'll be talking about the consultation on the latest draft of St Albans local plan. Until then, thank you for listening.